Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspectives. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been the peeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
It is what it is.
Yo, peace family. We back in the building. We here. This your brother Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
The one and only Raiju.
Hotel, Abarigani, Assalamu Alaikum. Mufasa Ra.
And we are Collective Minds Radio. Family, we back again for another week. Hopefully to share constructive dialogue with the family. This is Collective Minds, so we all ain't got to think alike, but we all have to think. And we appreciate you, family, for joining us once again for another week. 2020 has been, I mean, to say the least, amazing. Like, you can use all type of adjectives, amazing, surprising, unprecedented. It's been a lot of things going on this year, but we here, though. You feel what I'm saying? We here. We back. Another week, we still going strong. Shout out to the family.
A lot of high vibrations
every week. Yeah, a lot of high vibrations. You got to stay high when they try to hit you with the low vibration. You feel me? So you got to stay high when they go low. You feel me? So
yeah, stay high.
That's how we rolling. We appreciate your family. We got a great show lined up. This is actually part two. We continuing the conversation from last week. That we was having about, you know, what are black people's demands. And it got good, you know, it got, you know, people's calling in with a lot of good points. So we decided to continue that conversation this week, you know, and see how it pans out. And we go talk about the or else, like, what are we going to do if our demands are not met? You know, that's another conversation that we need to start having at this critical time that we find ourselves in history, you dig? But before we get into conversation, like we always do, my brother Mufasa and Queen Rigel, how was y'all week, and do y'all have any announcements for the family?
A very busy week, just as energetic and vibrant as the universe is right now. Just very, you know, strong week. I don't want to say, you know, whether it was good or bad. That's, you know, relative anyway. But it's been a week. It's been definitely active. I put it like that, and productive. Very productive. Do I have any announcements? One thing, I think we may have touched base on this before, but have you guys noticed a difference in the atmosphere with the sandstorm going on?
Yeah, it's a little gloomy.
Yeah,
I kind of noticed it earlier today. I was kind of wondering. I was like, is it me? Am I tripping, or do it look a little? Yeah, it look a little gloomy, a little dusty, you know, to me, mm-hmm. So.
It's in the air, but I ain't seen it like on no car or nothing.
Right.
Okay.
Did we lose Roger? Is that what you're noticing too?
No. I'm just curious. Had you guys noticed a difference in it, in the atmosphere? It seems to be one to
me. Right. Right, me too. But I say that's the ancestors sending some messages over. You know, that's coming from, they say, the Sahara in Africa. So, You know, I look at it like that's some, yeah, that's sending some messages over here, some downloads that we probably need to pick up on. Yeah, dig, but that's Cosmic Kev thinking.
Downloads.
Right, some downloads, baby, you know. But, yeah, that's what's up. So, my brother Mufasa, how was your week, my brother? And do you got any announcements for us?
Ooh, boy, yes, I've had a busy week, y'all. I'm just trying to grind it out, just trying to get my life together on track and
right.
Fly high and accept,
that's right.
You know, fly high and give out downloads. That's what I'm all about. Well,
yes,
wow.
Yeah, I'm having a good week.
I'm out done.
You out done? All right. Yes, yes.
It is what it is.
So,
hilarious.
It is what it is. So, yeah, good week. As an announcement, you know, I just want to remind everybody to, on July 4th, that's coming up, the most honorable minister, Louis Farrakhan, will be delivering a message. Be looking out for that. Tune in, NOI.org. Should be live streaming. You can also go to NOI.org and check out any other past lectures that the nation has done on Sundays and Wednesdays. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. I'm definitely interested to see what the minister got to say on July 4th. So, yeah, that's my only big announcement, family.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. I did have one story that I wanted to share with y'all because this actually made national news. For those that know, you know, we broadcast from St. Louis, Missouri, and it seems like the mayor got caught up in a little situation in the past couple of days. But this is an article from NBC News that says St. Louis mayor slammed for broadcasting news addresses of defund the police supporters. The mayor of St. Louis was accused by some of trying to intimidate critics. One alderman said, "It is not cool to dox my constituents who support hashtag defund the police." Yeah, so for those that don't know, St. Louis Mayor Lyda Crewson was on a Facebook Live briefing, and she started giving out the names, addresses, and just, you know, information of some of the protesters that was calling to defund the police. So now there's a petition going around trying to get her to resign or get her removed from office. So, you know, it's been a lot going on. A lot of aldermen been calling her out. You know, people accusing her of putting these people's lives in danger because apparently there was some rallies going on and a lot of people who support, let's just say, the KKK or alt-right groups was in the live stream. And, you know, people calling it what it is. You know, she put folks' information out there, which is dangerous, even though it is, you know, public information, but you still putting it out there and making it accessible for certain groups if they want to target these folks. So, yeah, I don't know if y'all heard about that, but I just wanted to put that out there for the family.
Yeah,
because we are the new black media.
Yeah, did hear about that. They confronted her at her home. Did you see that?
Okay, I didn't see that. Okay, they confronted her at her home. Okay, as they should.
Yeah.
So it goes back to say, you know, when it comes to these police departments, you know, in these major cities, these urban areas, and whatnot. The FBI already put out a report that said that they were infiltrated by white supremacists, by alt-right groups. This is what the FBI put out, you know what I'm saying? But not one time are they holding these police departments accountable the way they should. If we know that they've been infiltrated, why aren't we doing something about it? You know what I'm saying? Even with the dude that killed George Floyd, he had a lot of infractions and complaints on him. How is he still working? You know, how are these folks still working with multiple complaints? They transfer departments and so, you know, and they just rolling around to these different departments and doing the same, practicing the same anti-black racism. you know, with their policing. So it's like, why aren't these people being held accountable or being punished for the, you know, the type of work that they're doing, you know? So, yeah, I just want to put that out there. You know, that's in the news. But without further ado,
oh, hold on, first.
Go ahead, my brother.
I had someone send me some information. Also about it was some type of rally at the art museum, and some guys got into an altercation with some alt-right people. They was down there fighting at the museum. There's videos of it.
Oh.
Pictures of it.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
they was down there tussling.
Oh, okay. Okay, wow.
Yeah.
So,
from what I'm seeing, they was putting it on them.
They was putting them hands on them?
Oh, yeah, they was putting
their
hands on them.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, so family, this is the moment in history that we in. So this leads right into our conversation. With everything going on with, you got Black Lives Matter protests, you got these alt-right folks infiltrating protests, you have COVID-19 still. So it's a lot of chaos, let's say, going on within this country, but also the world as we speak. But in particular, this country, as it pertains to Black people, now is the time to make a bold move. Like, you know, we can't stress that enough. I can't stress that enough of how crucial this particular time is for us to be making a bold move and getting exactly what we're asking for, what we're demanding at this point. So the conversation today, you know, this is part two, the follow-up conversation to what are Black people's demands in light of the George Floyd protests, in light of all these companies with these Black Lives Matter. You got a lot of people protesting. You got a lot of companies donating money to supposedly racial equality, quote unquote, and things of that nature. So now we're just trying to figure out what are Black people's demands and what is the or else if our demands are not met. You know, how do we move forward in a situation where our demands are not met? So that's the conversation we're having today, family. Give us a call, Collective Minds. The number is 929-477-1697. So hit us up. This is Collective Minds Radio, y'all. So, yeah, I guess we can, you know, like we always do, go to Queen Rigel first. I know we talked about this last week, so you could continue the conversation as to what are Black people's demands, or you can tell us what do you think our or else should be. If our demands are not met, how should Black people proceed, you know, moving forward in this society if our demands are not met? What can we do to kind of hold folks accountable if our demands are not met and if the right thing is not done by us? So I'm going to let you go in on that, Queen Ledger.
Okay. Well, it's tough to say what should Black people do, but it's easy to know that
right.
They should do something.
Right.
Now, it's plenty of what. It's plenty of what. But a lot of those words we've already discussed as far as unity. We have to act in uniform, move as a force. It's much more powerful when you have, you know, the more the bomb is and the bang, it's more powerful, just bam, you know. So we need the unity. We need the power and the energy of the unity to make the right decision. So therefore, whatever decision is made, all these people will be on one accord. And that's power in itself. So,
right.
You know, we can break down, for a long time as far as different ways. There's different ways and different things that we can do. But the main important ingredient is unity. If everybody can understand what that means, it doesn't mean that you just, okay, you're like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go to this store because everybody's going to this store. You have to really understand what unity is and what it do. It's a force. It's if you just think of, if you look at the, think about like picture how the globe is. Those big masses, land mass, those are you know, significant sizes. So if you look at it, don't just look at it as one little drop or one little person. It's energy when it's all together. So if we can learn how to be together and act as one force, we can make more of an impact on whatever choices we decide to do. So I can just leave it there because, like I said, that list can go on, but I just wanted to touch base on the most general thing for me. So I can get into something later on a little deeper, but I'll drop it there.
All right. Yes, indeed. And I guess the same question to my brother Mufasa, and we'll get to the call lines here in a second. You know, what are black people's demands, if you want to reiterate that, and what do we do, you know, if our demands are not met?
Well, you know, like I said last week, I stand on that of going off what the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad plan was when we had a plan said what the Muslims want, and I won't read that whole 10-point plan, but number 4 of the plans clearly states we want our people in America whose parents or grandparents were descendants from slaves to be allowed to establish a separate state or territory of their own, either on this continent or elsewhere. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to provide such land and that the area must be fertile and minerally rich. We believe that our former slave masters are obligated to obtain and supply our needs in this separate territory for the next 20 to 25 years until we're able to produce and supply our own needs. Last week, one of our callers brought up the point about Libya some years back was supposed to be a territory for black people to migrate to. And that's fine. And even though this program says a territory here on this continent or elsewhere, I'm looking at it like we need a territory here on this continent especially. Yes, that's fine to have a territory on other continents, but we need one. We should be demanding a territory on this continent here as well. It's a must. You know, because black people helped to build this country, build this continent, and we deserve our share of this land as well. And it's nothing wrong with black people having a place to call their own. It's nothing wrong with it. And to keep down all the drama and the confusion and people who just want to do for themselves, hey, America should just help set up a state or a territory here where black people who wants to be amongst themselves can go. You know, those who want to stay and, you know, intermingle with everyone else, that's fine too. But for the ones who want a homeland of their own, I don't see nothing wrong with the government helping to set it up, because I always say our situation is different from other immigrants here. You know, as far as being black people here in the States, we don't have a culture. We're trying to identify with so many different cultures that we, as a black, quote unquote, black American, we don't have a true culture of our own. You know, and then we try to fit in with other people's cultures, and you know, we get disgraced. We get shunned upon. We don't fit in with other people's cultures. We need our own. At the same time, too, this would have been on my mind also that, and not saying that, you know, this ties into still of us saying what we want, but we need to
do better amongst ourselves also. You know, I also don't want us to continue to not help and lift each other up and look out for each other like we do, like we should. We should be looking out for each other. We should be able to come together and use group economics to help each other out, you know, not scam each other, not play each other. We should be looking out for each other. I just want to add that in. Us as black people in America need to be pulling together and treating each other with respect and love and dignity, you know, and we can come together and do for ourselves.
It is what it is.
We can do this. You know, Marcus Garvey and, like I said, Elijah Muhammad showed us plans of how we should be moving. We just don't move. We don't have to keep grasping for straws. We could take them two plans of action and make them happen. And as far as, like, you know, like I said, what we ask or what we demand, at the forefront of what we want is we want land. We want an area to call our own. And everything else can trickle down or come along with it. But in our demands, don't just ask for, you know, money or political power. Don't ask for other things without asking for land mass that black people can go to and do totally for self without intervention from other people. And I don't think that's too much to ask for. So, that's what I'm saying. The main thing at the forefront of what we want is we want a land mass. There's other things we want as well, but we want a land mass, a place to call our own. And that can be negotiated out. All that can be talked about and how we work out that the parts of that plan. It can be done. I have ideas about that, so we can't say it can't be done because it can.
Yes, indeed. So just a follow-up question real quick, bro. So what do we do if the demands are not met? What do we do if they say, hell no, we ain't giving y'all nothing. We just trying to get things back to the way they was. What do we do in that case?
We completely pull away. But that's the thing. We have to do it as a group, as a whole. It can't be.
Right.
100 black folks doing it and everybody else not following suit. You know, we have to pull away from certain things. We're already starting to, you know, I have an initiative going on about buying, you know, from black businesses. That's one thing. That's just one small thing you could do. But it's a big thing. We have to use group economics and funnel our money with each other. You know, we have to pull away from certain things that ties us in with the society or culture that can't meet our demands. Stop celebrating all these different holidays that this society wants us to partake in. Give that up. Stop going out buying all the fireworks on 4th of July. Stop buying turkeys on Thanksgiving. Stop buying gifts at Christmas. Stop doing it. Pull away from anything that helps us to funnel money into this society. You know, that's just a story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And by doing that's what I was saying earlier. The unity and how we should recognize what it is, because by doing that, it's like we already have our landmass. We're building our culture. We're doing it. So just like you can take two guys. One can go to school to be a doctor, and the other one can study and have still the same knowledge, if not more, than a man that went to school. They're both doctors. One just went to school and got certifications and things like that. So we can, as long as we just implement the unity on one accord and move the same way, then that's what we are. We identifying as that. You know, this will be the development of the culture, because this is what we have all agreed to do, and we're all doing it. we can't have no culture of everybody doing different things anyway, unless that's going to be the culture, I guess. But if we were trying to define something, we need, you know, the more people we have, the bigger the collective is, the bigger the energy, the more you're more aware, or people is more aware of you. You're more visible in a sense. You know, you're bigger, and if we do that and become this massive force, then we can do whatever we want to do. We don't have to ask anybody, because why should we ask them for land that's already given to us? You know, it's not like I know we've kind of touched base on this before, and so I already know how some things Mufasa may say. You can say it or not, but I do think that that's important. And I'll stop, because I know we've got callers, so I don't want to take up too much time.
Yeah, like you said, you know, I'm getting ready to say, we have to have our own land away. So when we have an area that's 90% black and we ain't getting our demands met, then
if we just all unite, we don't have to be asking nobody. When the tornado come through, do he ask us if he can come? Nah, he's roll on through the doggone community. That's how we gotta move. One unity, one force. Do? We don't have to ask somebody to give us something that don't even belong to them in the first place. We ask God to create the universe, and He's already given us the power to do what we need to do. We just do
it.
We make a decision. Everybody agree, and bam.
So right now, everybody
create our own culture right then and there. We can create our own culture, our own community. We just need to do it together.
All black people, we're going to move to Georgia and Mississippi. We relocate. Forget this. We out of here. We all galvanizing to Georgia.
I may have to create some ads to get this out
nobody.
There.
but look, y'all, remember.
Right. Remember, history is the best teacher. So what happened when black people was in the South, majority of black people was in the South, and 15 to 20 million black people migrated to the North and to the West? That's a large number of people being on code, being unified and moving to certain areas. You see what I'm saying? Even though they found out that they was going to the North and to the West to face more discrimination, but that was a huge migration of a large number of people that got on code and say, look, we want to do better. We're about to leave the South and head North looking for better opportunities. So I think it happens, you know, organically, and we do have to be on that same code. You dig what I'm saying? But I want to let y'all know, I don't know if y'all see it, but I see black people tightening up, meaning I see us circling our wagons. I see us getting on code. I see us becoming a unified force, and a lot of us kind of screaming the same thing. Now, we not going to get everybody, of course. And despite how much they put out Chicago or talk about, you know, black-on-black violence and all this, they put that in the news to discourage us from what we need to do. You see what I'm saying? Not saying those things don't happen. They happen, and they put them in the news to glorify for us to get mad at black people and be like, oh, why can't we do this and do that? But truth be told, black people are tightening up. This is what I want the family to know. We are getting on code. You're not going to be able to see it in one day, a week, you know what I'm saying, a month, but it's happening, especially in this time. From my vantage point and from what I see, black people are getting on code, and it's going to take a while to develop a solidified code, but we definitely going in the right direction, you know what I'm saying? So I don't want it to get... Don't ever get it twisted like we're not moving in the right direction, because we are.
Well, no. Now, I'm going to respond to that just in case you're speaking to me. Because it's not, because I agree with that. I do agree with that. And it's a mental thing, you know. So we have to still understand, and it's not just for just one moment. This is something to be continued. So the four seals have to grow and get stronger and stronger and stronger. It's
yes,
just supposed
indeed,
to live and thrive and grow. So, yes,
yes
I recognize a shift as well. I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I know it's
there
just beginning.
It's
so
it's not as strong
as it can be and hopefully will be if everybody understands
exactly
what they're doing so they can continue
right
doing it. They have to
exactly
unite for the cause too, not just the action. Your mind has to unite. We have to both, everybody needs to understand what we're doing, the whole picture
right
of it, to understand what the purpose
right
of it
mm-hmm
is, so that way we can move together. So it's mental
right
and
so
right.
So with that, let me add one last thing for myself. So all black people that can hear me and you can spread the word, we all finna start relocating to Georgia and Mississippi, and we're going to naturally take it over.
Right. I mean, it's almost
yeah,
a word spread because right now it's like you're just a small man in the ocean holding a candle. So we got to make that light grow and grow and grow and get bigger and bigger so more people can
right
see it.
And it's good to have a timeline because people got to get things situated. You want to have a place to stay when you go. So these things take time. You know what I mean? It takes time
yeah,
for
I
people
just
to
the
move
location
in that. Yeah, you do it. No, put it in
one
the universe. I'm not saying that. Exactly. No, you did the right thing by putting that
now
in the
universe.
Now we
got the location.
Right, and that could potentially manifest, but it's not going to happen by, you know, the end of July. You know what I'm saying? Like, it takes time for people to get, you know, situated.
If everybody don't unite and everybody don't do it, it ain't happening. So the only way to make it happen is unity. Without it, it ain't happening because we're not all acting in a big massive force. We're not acting as a collective. So in order to
right.
push something, we have to be united.
Right, I agree.
So we can
but
unite
we
in
also have to be careful.
And we can unite in Georgia.
Right, but we also remember we have to be careful with words like all and everyone, because everyone's not coming. All
that's
black
true
people not coming.
Yeah,
we don't need everyone. I use the word all loosely. Yeah, we need a significant number of us that's willing to do the right thing. You know, they call it a critical mass. We need a critical mass that's willing to make that move. And everything else will fall into place. You know what I'm saying? So we can't be looking for all. If we got one or two scragglers, we can't be like, oh, we can't do it. No, no, no. We don't necessarily need them. We just need a large number, a critical mass of black people willing.
And I hate that.
To get on call to do the same thing. Yeah.
And I'm really not trying to steer the show in another direction, but I want to say this too. Get your life insurance policy. When you pass, already be schooling your children on where they should go when they cash in on your money. Tell your babies
that's a fact.
We relocating to Georgia and Mississippi. So when Big Mama pass, bury her or cremate her and take her on down south with you. Find you some place to go down in Georgia or Mississippi. Spread the word.
Right.
Spread the word.
Spread the word. Okay. There you go. Putting that in the universe.
Migrate.
Brother, you just don't know how powerful that is that you're putting that out there. You see what I'm saying? Because you'd be surprised how things will look in 2 to 5 to 10 years. You know what I'm saying?
It is what it
so,
is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what it is. So, family, if you're just joining us, this Collective Minds Radio, that was my brother, Mufasa Rod. We got Queen Rigel. I am Cosmic Kev. And we are
you
talking
forgot
about what are black, huh?
I laughed because you paused like you forgot who you were.
Ah, yeah, I did, because I was about to say Brother Kev, then I went to Cosby Kev. I went back and forth, so you was right on. But no, family, yeah, so we're talking about what are black people's demands. We want to have this conversation just so we can get the conversation rolling, get the demands out in the universe, you know, speak to the ancestors, speak to the people, because we are going to have a significant number of black people on one accord. So my thing is, like I said last week, number one on my list, and I really don't like to put it in order, but number one on my list is reparations, is the economics. I know my brother Mufasa pushing for the land, and I think that we can agree that land and the economic or the reparations are a part of the thing. So I don't want it to be like a competition. Oh, we need land first, we need reparations. I think both things, reparations and land, are a part of the conversation. My push is just realistically and the immediate foreseeable things that I can kind of see in my mind is the addressing the reparations and the economic issues that we face up under this system. You know what I'm saying? But like I say, land is definitely part of that conversation. It's, like I say, with the logistics part. Go ahead, brother.
I just want to say one thing. If you get the economics, take your money and move to Georgia and Mississippi. Go ahead, brother.
There you go. Yeah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. That's a fact. So with the economics, we can buy the land. You know, we can do like Mufasa said and move to Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, that southern coast, Florida, whatever. We can do that with the economics. So I think that's a major part of the plans. And before we get to the call lines, I want to just put out there my or else. If we don't get our demands met, my or else is we need to start to disengage from the entire system, because number one, the system would be illegitimate if it's not willing to help the citizens who are most vulnerable and who have been the most victimized over the past few centuries, and help build the wealth of this country. So if you're not willing to reconcile that with your citizens, then we would deem this particular system as illegitimate. Therefore, we would totally disengage from the system. Do not vote for the president. Just let them do what they do. We would stop sending our kids to the military. We would stop getting caught up in their criminal justice system. Stop paying taxes. Like, if black people really understood how vital we are to making this system function, put it like this: our dysfunction is vital to the system functioning. You dig what I'm saying? I'm going to say that again. Black people's dysfunction is vital to the system functioning. Because without us, if we're not filling up jails and getting caught up in their criminal justice system, they have no courts, they have no lawyers, they have no big money deals. All these type of things are big money. When you talk about the prison industrial complex, and then you talk about the media, right? The media and nightly news that feeds on crime and black death. If it, like they say in the news media, if it bleeds, it leads. So the media is all about violence, blood, death, all that type of stuff. And by us participating and contributing to this overall system, you know, it's like a domino effect. So if we can cut out participating in our criminal justice system, that'll cut out, they will lose so much money right there. And then not to mention us supporting, going, not just supporting, but going out of our way to support black businesses. You dig what I'm saying? And then what we'll see is, you know, we'll see them either start to acquiesce to our demands, or the system will just fall on its own. And by us being unified and a community, we won't have no problem with that, because if we look at history again, during the Great Depression, black people were doing quite well. You know, I don't know if y'all know, but you can look this up, research it. During the Depression, black people were doing quite well. You dig what I'm saying? We had communities. We were thriving. We had bus lines, cabs, you know, things like that. We were doing fairly well for ourselves until, you know, some people got the some people started hating, right? They started hating and started coming into our communities and burning stuff down. But if we're unified and on one accord as a group, not all of us, but as a group, if we're unified, if America falls, we'll be fine. We'll be good. You dig what I'm saying? We're talking about economic fallout that we can control if we're unified and working with each other as a group. So that would be just, you know, my or else, just with totally withdrawing from the system, taking our kids out of school. Like I say, no joining the military, disengage from the system as much as we can and just watch it do what it do. And we go on about our business and build a strong society that's built on justice, right? That's what we want. We want a society that's built on justice and not something based on, you know, you getting unearned benefits based on the color of your skin. No, no, no. That's not how we rocking. We want it based on justice and truth. And I'm going to leave it right there. So, yeah, yeah. We can hit the call line.
I think that's good. Guys wanna,
go ahead.
I was just going to add something real fast because I think it's also important because what you said is true. They do really – they need us because they use us. They use us like lab rats.
Oh, yeah.
Test dumps.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and – and like you said, I totally agree. We have to detach from, like, a lot of the culture. You know? So we have to detach from their culture and create our own. And we have to realize that we have to be okay with not engaging in some of these things that they trick us with. They try to entice people with material things. That's why all on TV, everybody on TV is rich and have money. So it makes you feel like, I want to be on there. I want to be rich and all that. So we have to detach away from a lot of the material items that they push on us that constantly trap you back into their world. Because then when you feel like, okay, I want to get these things, so that means you got to go in their world to get it because they're controlling the money. They're going to give you the money for acting a fool or doing whatever. So you got to – so if we detach and be like, you know what, I don't need that jewelry. I just – as long as I have a nice house to stay in or a decent house for my family, I'm fine. We don't have to overindulge in all these material things. Live a basic life. All this food, people want to go out getting all these big fat steaks and all that stuff. We don't need that in our body, so we need to detach away from their way of eating and everything. So we need to detach from their culture and create our own, and all that takes is just doing it, just uniting and everybody doing, like Brother Ken said, enough people, and then it'll grow and grow and grow.
That's right. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you just joined us, family, we are talking about what are black people's demands. This is part two of the conversation we had last week. And we're also asking what is the or else if our demands are not met. You feel me? How do we move forward? What do we, you know, what can we do to hold the system accountable? We don't have a military, but there are other ways that we can, you know, damage the system, you know, if our demands are not met. So that's what we're talking about today, family. Hit us up, 929-477-1697. Yeah, I guess y'all want to hit the call lines.
Okay. Area code 314-381. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. If you have a question or a comment, and thank you for calling. Put your seatbelts on, everybody.
Well, I'm not going to comment on these last few minutes of stuff you guys have been talking about. Any worse than
that.
But I tell you what I like to comment on is that you see these protests that's being led by these white anarchist groups from Antifa on down to Sunrise and others. And they are because there's been investigative undercover reporters who have sat in and I guess you can say spied at some of their meetings, got a hold of their instructional material and plans and directives. And that's what it is. And those blacks that's
right.
following them is being bamboozled yet once all over again. My
right.
Hat goes off to those who are avoiding that, those who are putting up resistance, even physical resistance to other blacks that try to come into their areas and loot. My hat goes
right.
off to the Latin Kings for doing the same thing. And those that's continuing to demand that their children are being able to pull out of these ratchet systems that's been the way they are for decades and decades, my hat goes off to them. That's what you have to have. And that's what people want. You know, you only have about 25, 26 million blacks in this country between the ages of 18 and 65. And half of them are female, and another third of them are children. So they can't be looked at to do anything substantial. They have to be provided for, and you have to lay the groundwork for them. And so you're only talking about, what, maybe 12.5 million people? Maybe 14. And out of that
right.
25, you had 6% just recently before the pandemic that was unemployed. So you're talking about another 1.6 million. So you it's not that many. I mean, it's not that many. And
of course
everybody's
right.
not going to make
enough.
It.
But it's enough.
Of course, you're not. No, I'm not talking about what you want to do. I'm talking about what needs to be done. And what is being
so we can all fit in Georgia.
Well, you want me to talk about that? Don't go down to DeKalb County with that stuff. Because blacks down there in DeKalb County kicked some blacks' butt and ran them out that was down there causing all kind of problems and stuff. Those people down there are Southerners. They got a whole different – they're highly religious, and they got a whole different perspective of you black Yankees. And there was a – There was a baseball team called the Black Yankees, so don't feel so bad. And one other question, one other thing. My condolences go out to Big George for the loss of his sister when you had this savage acting fool went in the Applebee's there on the Rock Road and killed her and wounded another young lady that was a EMT, a volunteer firefighter out in Kinlock. And I think she may be related to Buford, who used to be with the Urban League. Her last
Urban
name
League,
is
James Buford.
Same.
Jim
yeah.
Buford.
Yeah, I wonder if she's related to him. But that's a
yeah,
shame,
I'm
man.
Not sure. Yeah, that was.
And
that
I can't believe nobody else
that.
In that place wasn't packing. They should have lit down on him like Christmas tree. He walked
yeah,
out
right.
and
yeah,
came back
yeah.
in and shot some more. And I wonder what
yeah,
Wesley
yeah,
Bell going to do
shame.
In this case. Because he said he wouldn't seek the death penalty. You got about three or four cases where the people that perpetrated these crimes need to be put to death. Anyway, you guys have a nice time. And when you get your covered
wait
wagon
a minute,
all packed
go,
up and ready to go, I'm coming down yeah. and give you a donation to kick you off.
Yes,
what?
Indeed. We appreciate that, Colin.
You in the South, though, brother. You already in the South.
Oh, you didn't mention the state where I'm at, my winter home.
Tell us.
In Louisiana, right?
Yeah. Sweet home Louisiana. Yeah, well, sweet home Alabama, but you know what I'm saying.
And what's
right,
the
in the back
home, where the summer home at?
My summer home is wherever I want it to be. I'll be up there next week in your town.
Let me ask
okay.
You
well, we might get brother. With you. We might have a alumni day. And get with you, Carla.
I might
collect minds alumni.
Oh man, it's
tell
a lot of different
I mean,
people down here.
Between, yeah.
Ahead, yes, man. It is. Yes, it is. I mean, you would only have to recognize it if you're coming from someplace else up north, coming down here. People are friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. A whole
yeah.
lot of difference.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Yes, indeed.
All right, then.
We
I'll
appreciate
listen.
You, Colin. Yes, indeed. Appreciate you. All right, family, if you're just joining us, this is Collective Minds Radio. We are discussing what are black people's demands. And, you know, what is the or else if our demands are not met? And how do we navigate and take advantage of everything that's going on right now? So hit us up, 929-477-1697. Yeah, y'all want to respond to the call or y'all want to hit the call line?
I don't have anything to say.
I want to respond. I'm not no Yankee.
Right,
that's all I
want
to say.
You know, that goes without saying.
No,
I ain't no Yankee either. I don't know what that is. You know what I'm saying?
He's a black
I know
Yankee.
I refer to people up north, but yeah, I'm not a Yankee. Don't separate me into Yankee or Southern or Confederate Union, whatever labels they got. I'm not none of that. No, sir. No, sir.
Okay, here so, you
go. Yeah,
314.
Yeah, go ahead.
Area code 314-438-COLLY-ON.
No, just listening tonight.
Okay.
All right. Yes,
calling.
Indeed, Kyle. We appreciate you. Yep. But I will say this because the caller did mention the protests. And this is just my assessment of what I've been seeing, you know, around the country with the George Floyd protests. I don't think that the streets or, quote, unquote, the grassroots black people have been activated. I'm seeing a lot of, like you said, I'm seeing a lot of these left-wing group and these right-wing groups. So you see a lot of Antifa out there. You see these right-wing groups out there, and you see Black Lives Matter. Now, we know that Black Lives Matter is not a grassroots organization. This is an organization that, you know, receives a lot of money from corporations. It's basically a corporate-run organization that attempts to push a LGBTQ agenda. And I say that because with the term Black Lives Matter on their website, they go out of their way to make sure that they stress that black lives include gay lives, trans lives, this and that, which Black Lives Matter includes all of that anyway. You know what I'm saying? So by them going out of their way to distinguish that, yeah, trans lives matters too, they're trying to dilute the message, and they're trying to co-opt and steal or co-opt the movement, shall I say. But like I said, the grassroots and the streets in black society have not yet been activated. I think people are really paying attention to what's going on, trying to see who's who, what's what, who's actually controlling these organizations and protests, and kind of sitting back and seeing it. So I just wanted to put that out there because he had mentioned, like, you know, the different groups that are out on the scene protesting. Now, don't get it twisted. This was inspired by, you know, anti-black racism and stuff that we've been screaming about for years. This was inspired by that. But as far as the people that's getting out there, it's not really the streets yet. You know what I'm saying? It's not the grassroots. People who are aware, people who they would call conscious, they're not really moving out there like that because we see the agenda and we see what's going on.
Yeah, because
I
was just going to say it was in the beginning. I'm just going to speak about here in St. Louis and with the Ferguson ordeal.
Right.
The grassroots were out there, but when they started seeing how it got infiltrated, they started pulling back.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Exactly. And shout out to Darren Seals, the young brother who was out on the front line. So yes, you absolutely right. Ferguson started with the streets, right? It started with that energy, that street energy. It started with the streets. They left that young man out there for hours for the streets to view his body, and that turned a lot of people up. So it did start with the streets. But then it quickly, again, Black Lives Matter was there. They co-opted the movement. They came in. It became a hookup fest, and a lot of other stuff was going on. They was getting big checks, but they wasn't really, you know, giving back to the community and doing for the people. So we saw that with Ferguson. So now this time around, we kind of see the same thing kind of going down as well. But just be aware that, you know, a lot of us do peep what's going on. We see how things are moving, and we want to, again, have this conversation about what are black people's demands, because it's a crucial time. We don't want to have Black Lives Matter or these other groups co-opt the movement off of our pain and suffering, and then they create some type of agenda that don't have nothing to do with us. They create the whatchamacallit. They create the civil rights 2.0 or segregation 2.0, where they just put us back in the system and be like, you know, here you go, everything's good. Give us some symbolic victories, you know, like taking down some statues or whatnot, which, you know, I think some of those should be come down, but we need more. You know what I'm saying? As far as symbolically, we need more. Do more. You going to do that? Cool. I don't want them to do that in order to wipe away the racist past that they have, because I think our kids should know about that. If you're going to do that, add something to it. You know what I'm saying? Give us the land. Give us the reparations. You know, don't just do that. Take down the statues. Let's go all the way with it. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where I'm at.
And remove ratchet music. Remove ratchet music from black culture. Now, that's a debate I would love to have. Remove
that
as well.
We have to do that ourselves.
I was going to have to say, like Roger just said, we're going to have to do that ourselves. We're going to have to, like she said, turn down the money, because they pay a lot of money for black ignorance. Remember, if you a rapper and you rapping about killing niggas on every other song, and you rap about calling black women bees and you're going to get paid. As long as you got a little flow,
that's why
I say
we have to detach from this material stuff.
You're going
to
get paid. Exactly.
Well, I'm just,
so
the reason I said it like that.
To us.
The reason I said it like that, because that's another, like right now we're talking about asking or, you know, what we want. So I'm saying that's another thing we should say. We should say we want that type of music to be illegal. And, yeah, y'all are true. We should turn it away ourselves. But if we asking right now things that we want, then that's one of our things, too. We want that stuff to go away. We don't want that being promoted in society. All that type of ratchet, ignorant-ass music, no, should be banned. You know, it's just like you said, we putting bans on statues. We taking statues down. We're making this movement right now. We're doing all these changes. So that can be changed as well. If you making music like that, you get fined. A hefty fine.
Right.
I bet you.
No. See,
if I came out with a song talking about I'm riding through the hood, shooting this person and that person, doing this and that, and then come to find out, now I get fined. Or hit with imprisonment, I bet you I'll stop.
That feel like entrapment. We just don't create the music. That way ain't got to worry about it being put out.
Or we just don't support it. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We just don't support it because as an artist, you want
to
have a certain type of freedom. And where does this stop, you know, when you talk about those things? But, no, I get what you're saying. We just should stop supporting that type of music and it'll go away.
But it's not entrapment, because that's like enticing somebody
to do something that's not really good for them. Like, why would you put it in their face? That's a form of entrapment. Because you're creating an appetite for it. Because that's like if I get a small child and I start them off on a certain thing and I give it to him all the time and I always make it accessible for him, that child is going to create an appetite for it and is going to seek it and probably probably want it, you know. So you create a desire, and if that's what they may want to do, so it's like it's hard to tell them to stop doing something when you, then you have it in the house all the time, and then you want them to stop. You put it in the house, but then you don't want them to eat it, but you go buy it. It's like you enticing them. It's like just don't create the music, and you know, and I mean, just don't put it out, and then we don't have to worry about it.
But you're going to create it if you got a powerhouse behind you funneling money to you to create it. You're going to create it. And then
right,
if
and
I'm being like you, who want to be flashy and love flashy stuff, they be enticed by that. Now they want to live their life, or they want to start making the same type of music. But, you know, this is going down a whole nother journey here. We can talk about
that's
that
why I said we have to detach from the material things. That way the money can't be a deterrent. The money, you can't offer me no money, because the money, most of the time the money, we chase the money so we can get the luxury in life. You know, so if
right.
you're not trying to, if you're not chasing after the material things, then the money, you ain't worried about the money. That's what makes people
right.
sell their soul and do
money.
All kind of wild things, because they chase
the
money so bad,
and the
only so they can get
yeah.
only so they can get other things with the money, so they know what the money brings. If the money didn't bring that, money was just like some little stick or something, it wouldn't matter. People wouldn't just be going to chase it and doing anything for it. Money comes with power. You can buy material things. So if we detach ourselves from material things of this world and of the how the
how
society
do you make them detach?
Is structured.
I'm just out of curiosity. I just want to know y'all opinions on how do you make the youth detach?
Well, one thing,
I think if they have
you don't entice
yeah,
them with it. I was going to say that we don't entice them with them. That's when I do see the importance, a really big picture of the land, because then we don't have to have those things in our community for our kids to see. We don't have to entice them. That's like you have certain parents that may dabble in a little thing, a few little things, indulge in some things that they may not do around their child. They don't want to introduce certain things to their child, you know, so it's like that's
right.
how we
so
have
look,
to raise
look.
Our we have to raise our children
exactly.
from the womb on up, so they can develop certain
right.
characteristics and not have that desire, and they don't
right.
they don't see it. See, it's glorified right now. We don't have to glorify it.
Right. So
and
look,
that's
this,
how you
this
detach
is a small example. Yeah, this is
and
just
that's
a small
why you
example.
Separate.
When
that's
a small
separate.
Example. When look, when my kids, since my kids been born, I don't think we've ever had a TV, meaning we didn't have the terrestrial TV. We have just the Netflix and, you know, the Prime Video or whatever on the Fire Stick. But my point is, without the regular terrestrial TV, they don't get to watch commercials, right? They don't get to see the toys on Saturday morning cartoons and all that type of stuff that we grew up with. So when Christmas time come around, they don't have a big appetite for toys. They don't be like, oh, we want this, we want that, we want this, because they're not being inundated with a lot of commercials and advertisement of things that they may want and things that they may see. So the point is, if we're not showing our kids these things, these material things, and putting such an emphasis on them, they're not going to desire those things because they haven't seen them. So if we can't control what our kids see, control, you know, the information, control the things that, again, that they see, including social media. You know, social media is big, including social media, then we can limit their desires, which in turn limits them being vulnerable to somebody flashing a few, you know, dollars in their face and them doing something crazy for it. You know what I'm saying? So it's a few different ways to do it, but most importantly, if we get our kids to understand that this physical stuff is not where it's at, it's all about who you are, because you cannot take none of this physical stuff with you at the end of the day. And once you break it down, you have to be comfortable with yourself. Like, we gotta talk about the metaphysics of things, talk about the internal, the stuff that really matter, that's going to get you to the next level in life. You know what I'm saying? Even though money is a powerful tool and you can do a lot of good things with it and you can get a lot of things done. So I don't want to sit here and just bash money, but we cannot hold that above other things like integrity, you know, being truthful, justice, you know, being righteous. We cannot hold money above those type of virtues. You know what I'm saying? And we got to convey that message, you know, to our kids and whatnot.
Sounds like saying isolate and train.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That is what I'm saying in so many words. And like I've always stated, even without the physical separation, let's say we can't get the land, but I think we can separate on a mental level. We can separate on an economic level. We can separate on a social level. You dig what I'm saying? And maintain, circle our wagons, keep our circles tight, and move accordingly. Based on that, based on a code, you know, we can move accordingly and separate without the physical separation, if that makes sense, you know. But yeah, family, if you're just joining us, we are within the last half hour of the show. We are talking about what are black people's demands. You know, as we look around the country, there's a lot of things going on. A lot of people are jockeying for a position. This is an election year. You know, this is a crucial time in black America for us to solidify our spot and our claim on this country that we have built. You know, I don't think black people take enough pride in knowing how much we have contributed to this country, number one, and how much this country would not be anything if it wasn't for black people. Do you know America would be equivalent to like a third-rate European country if it wasn't for black people, if it wasn't for the black wealth that black people created, the free labor that we created, if it wasn't for our inventions, our innovations, our ingenuity? America would be nothing. America would be like some Eastern European Yugoslavian country, I promise you. But because black people have given so much to this country, but yet reap none of the benefits, we find ourselves in this position we in today. So it's time for us to take pride in building this country, because this is a country where everybody comes to for opportunity. You dig what I'm saying? So it's up to us to really take hold of that and really, you know, pat ourselves on the back for building such a great country. And making a dollar as profitable as it was, even though we know, you know, with the economics, the dollar is falling as we speak, but it's still one of the strongest currencies in the world. You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's still one of the strongest currencies in the world. So, you know, we got to take pride in that and not let folks, you know, try to downplay us and talk down on why we ain't doing this or why we ain't doing that. But it seems like everybody's coming over here to benefit from the work that our ancestors put in. You know what I'm saying? We've been consistent at trying to make America live up to what it said it was. You know what I'm saying? We've been in a consistent fight to do that and allow other groups and immigrants to come over to this country to reap the benefits of the work that we put in. You know what I'm saying? So now is the time, like I say, for us to really take ownership and pride of what we have contributed to this country, making it is what it is. You know what I'm saying? So our demands are demands that we putting on the table as a right. You know what I'm saying? As something we should have been granted. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. You did.
Yeah, it's like it ain't even granted.
Exactly.
You know, it's like. It shouldn't even be. I mean, it was granted already. It was granted to us all at the same time.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
With the exception of, if you want, I mean, with the exception of just when we are reincarnated into this body. But outside of that, we didn't build this earth. We came to this earth.
Right.
We was reincarnated into this earth just like everybody else. So exactly. It's like we don't have to. It shouldn't be a matter of us asking somebody for something. We can just make the decisions and do things. But like I said, it has to be done. It's only gonna work. It ain't gonna work if me and you and you know Mufasa say, okay, let's go to Georgia. That's two people. Okay, we did that together. Okay, well then what? That's what I'm saying. It's more of an impact when it's more. When we
exactly.
have more unity, you know, so
exactly.
it needs to be a significant amount in order to have an impact. You know, it's no, we
well,
can't
I
just
a,
go and.
I got
and,
a suggestion.
What?
Then you got to force these Negroes, because we can't unify.
Some you do.
Then force them. Force them to move. And I think that's what this country has been trying. This country has been trying to force black people to do something, and we just ain't doing. We ain't doing it. That's why we keep seeing the police killing. Yeah, that's why we keep seeing the police brutalizing us. That's why they keep showing us getting done and mistreated. Cause they pushing us. It's like they pushing like, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? What you gonna do? And instead of us busting a move. And moving and doing something, we still playing around. We still want to go out there. Not all of us, but some of us want to go out there and still protest with other ethnicities people. Some of us want to still claim and hold on to America. Some people, you know, we all over the place, and the society is pushing and pointing, trying to force. So we not go organically unify, and white. Man is trying to force us to unify, then maybe it's time for us to force ourselves to unify. And I mean force. Force the unification. I always tell y'all, I always love the movie. I love Shaka Zulu and how he forced people to do what they had to do. And when he forced them, he got the job done. Unfortunately, some of us have to be forced to do what we're supposed to
right.
do.
Right. Because you know what, you guys, it's not, I don't think they necessarily want us to unite and want us to do, I don't think they necessarily want that because they know with that is the power. They just know that if we did it, they can't do nothing. If they did it, there's nothing that they can do. I mean, if we did it, it's nothing they can do. So I think that they don't really want us to because they know what can potentially come with it. That's why they do these tests on us to keep us, and, you know, all these marketing tests to keep us going in a certain direction. Like they got us, like I said, like a lab rat. They got us going down the maze for the cheese.
Right, right. Yeah. And I think for years, I kind of agree with Foss on, you know, a couple points. But I think for years we have just sat back and took the abuse. But I think now is the time where we're getting to the point where we like enough is enough. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying as far as even, you know, with the George Floyd thing popping off, there's been a lot of incidents where the police and the system been taking L's. You know what I'm saying? So I think, you know, for years and years and years, we just sat back and took the abuse and just hoped that it would go away. We just like, look, if we just do this, you know, hopefully we won't get affected by the system. But now I think we're at a point where we are starting to recognize, look, we got to do something. You know, we're going to have to take a stand and do something. Otherwise, we risk being a permanent underclass for the next 10, 20, 30 years. Like, now's the time for us to make that move. And like I said before, I think we are making that move. You know what I'm saying? I think we are moving in the right direction and tightening up, and we cleaning out our circles, because we're going to have to clean out the black people that's not on code. You dig what I'm saying? Some people would call it the black trash. Some people would call it the nigger mentality. Whatever you want to call it, that lower frequency being that's out there, that's really, you know, that's been created, we have to get rid of that particular dynamic as much as we can. We might not get rid of all of them, but we're going to have to punish those people that go off code and go against black people if they're black. We're going to have to punish those people and do something to rid those people of the community. And then we on pace to do what we got to do. You know, we on pace. No more sabotaging. We not going to be infiltrated, not going to be sabotaged by folks that look like us. We're going to handle that. You know, we're going to take care of them and move them out the way. And we're going to still progress and do what we got to do as a unit to progress and move forward so we can create a better, a better society for our family and our children. So I think we on pace to do that.
Look how Corona, air quotes that, Corona forced people to do some stuff in a matter of months. It forced people to move a certain way.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes you just got to force people to do a certain thing. And the universe is showing us that. As much as we want to just sit back and hope, like you say, hope that things change and hope things are all right. No. You got to force some stuff sometimes. Coronavirus forced a whole group, all of America, whole country and beyond to move a certain way. People out here in masks. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Look, I share this story with y'all too. This is kind of funny to me. I was at the store a couple hours ago, and I walk in the store, and it's this lady. She got a face mask on, and I walk in, and she goes, she's like, "Hey, you remember me?" No, I don't think she said memory, but she said, "Hey, how you doing?" And started talking to me, and I'm like, "Who are you?" I said, "You got a mask on. I don't know who you is." And she pulled a mask down. She was like, "This such and such." She was like, "You don't recognize my eyes? I ain't seen you in 20 years. Now I'm going to recognize your eyes."
Her eyes.
And I'm like,
hilarious.
Talk to me.
Hilarious. You still there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. My bad.
I don't know you
and you got this mask on. I don't supposed to know who you are. But just like that, we are forced to move a certain way. And we're going to have to be forced to do what's best for us. It's going to have to be forced.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm not against that at all. And I think the black people like us who are aware and who are conscious, we're going to have to force, that ideology onto other black people, to respect yourself first and foremost and to respect other black people. Black first, these are the things we're going to have to instill in each other. And if anybody gets off cold, you dig what I'm saying, they're going to have to be dealt with. They're going to have to be forced or they're going to have to lay down. They got to get down and lay down. And that's what it's coming to. With us putting this conversation out there, I think this is great. We are putting the demands out there because this conversation is going to be ongoing, as we go throughout the year and, the years to come. This is going to be a conversation that is going to be had as far as what our demands and what do we do in the meantime. We should always still be looking to build with each other. We should still be looking to support black businesses and to work to unify to get black empowerment. That's the goal, is to get empowerment through unification and working with each other. And anybody else, like you say, they're gonna have to be forced or they're gonna have to lay down. Period.
I've been like I said, through these conversations, I'm never the one to say I can't. I'm just stuck in a certain way, and that's why I'm curious and I can't. Now I'm anxious to hear, the message by Minister Farrakhan the Fourth, because
I can't wait, bro.
That callers have made. If you have a group of people, a group of black people that's living a certain standard, and is militarized, then at some point you have to use that military to make things happen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I can't wait to hear the minister on the 4th. You know, I know he gonna come with a powerful message.
Yeah, I definitely.
Yeah, I think you kind of went out, bro. Yeah, I think you kind of went out, bro. But yeah,
well,
I know the minister gonna drop it. What'd you say, Queen Roger?
No, I said I want to tune in myself.
Oh yeah, this, I mean this is gonna be a big. This would be the first speech since Savior's Day, right?
Yep, that's right.
Mufasa. Yeah, since Savior's Day.
Yep.
So, yeah, I know he's gonna drop it. You know, I like that. I like that 80s, early 90s Farrakhan. You know, that's when he used to get on Donahue and on them talk shows and them early Savior days when he got the nation back popping. Oh, man. That brother was on point. So I know he going to come with it, you know, as he get up in his eldership. You know, he didn't calm down a little bit, but he still got that fire. So. You know, much respect to the honorable minister.
And he got young soldiers that bring it down, that put it down just like he do. But see,
that's the thing, the society that we're in,
not only does it pause in our youth to where they don't want to hear that, but the our people who do speak like that, you know, they don't get a chance to put their voice out there. You know, through algorithms and social media and stuff like that, it gets tuned down.
Yeah.
And like I say, the big thing is turning the youth's attention and desires another direction. You know, when they come around young men who's speaking like how Farrakhan spoke in the 80s and 90s, baby, they don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like it's like almost like forcing them to hear it. They're like, man.
Yeah.
They don't want to hear that. Yep. They want to hear about getting to the bag.
Yep. And one thing about the nation, one thing about the brothers and sisters in the nation is the discipline. Because to do anything in this society, it takes, you know, a certain amount of discipline to get things done. You know, to do a task over and over, to get things done, to discipline yourself, that takes a lot. That takes a lot of self-control. You know what I'm saying? And respect to the brothers and sisters in the nation who exercise a lot of discipline in the moves that they make and how they, you know, how they move around. So, you know, I definitely respect that part.
Yeah, it's not an overnight journey. But the good thing is, you know, we're having brothers and sisters like that to look up to. You know, it's good to have that so you can say, man, do a self-check of yourself. You know,
that's right.
Man.
Exactly. Exactly. Yes, indeed. Family, we're coming down to the last 8 minutes of the show. We have been talking about what are black people's demands in light of the George Floyd protest. You know, we had a crucial time, and a lot of people, a lot of groups are jockeying for a position. This is an election year. You got the Democrats and Republicans going at it. You got Black Lives Matter versus the alt-right. You got Antifa. You got just a lot of different groups and factions, you know, kind of jockeying for a position in a lot of these major cities across the country. You got these politicians picking sides, these mayors and governors, they all picking sides. So, you know, it's an interesting time that we find ourselves in, and we wanted to put that conversation out there in the universe as to what are black people's demands and see how we can get those demands met. And if we can't get them met, how do we move in the meantime? You dig what I'm saying? That's something that black people should be pondering around the country. You know, black families should be thinking about because the time is now. You know what I'm saying? The time is now for a bold move. And, we have, again, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan speaking next week on the 4th, you know, to kind of give us some enlightenment and some guidance and leadership, you know, as a family. So I would encourage the family definitely to tune in to that next week, you know. So, yeah, y'all, this has been a good one. Tune in next week. We're going to have another powerful dialogue. You dig? And I'm going to let y'all get the last word and wrap us up.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do want to see, before I do my wrap up, to let you know I saw something touching in about Marilyn Lighty Cruising. They actually protesting outside of her house. So she getting the smoke today.
What's going on right now. Yes, indeed.
Lighty Cruising is definitely
getting
the smoke.
They had approached her. They confronted her at her home. That's
not
so wrong. Yep. Oh, yep. You did say, yeah. So, hey, it is what it is, man. I mean, you know, she was wrong for that. So, hey, you read what you sow. Now your address out there. You know what I mean? So,
I hope
time.
That we can.
Time.
I hope that we can galvanize ourselves together, you know, galvanize, move to a location, start getting them reparations. When you get the reparations, Black people know what to do with your money. Use cooperative economics, to come together, pool your money together, and build, you know. Bleed out the negative mindset that we were talking about early. All this stuff has been laid out before by our great teachers from the past. We're really not saying nothing new. To be honest with you, there's nothing that we've said on here is like breaking news 2020. We're saying something new. We've had leaders that have told us what to do, have shown us and told us what to do. We just got to go ahead and as an individual, even though I get what Wright said about the unity, but the individual is going to have to make up his mind and say, I'm going to do that. And that way, all of us as an individual know that this is the goal that gives
that's
us our unity.
Right, that's what I'm saying. That's unity. Right. So, I mean, I'm not saying has to happen in one blink of an eye. I'm just saying everybody has to be on the same accord, on the same page. That's unity.
And be willing. So come together, and that's what we need to do. Or if it's not going to happen, the time may come where we will be forced.
Yeah.
We've seen how a coronavirus can force a country of people to move a certain way. We can be forced to move in the direction that we need to be forced in. So we can do what we're supposed to do naturally, organically, or we can be forced. Which way we gonna get it?
Yeah. Right. Exactly. You know? Which way? Exactly.
Which way we gonna go?
Yeah. As well said, brother. Exactly. It's one way or the other. You know, if you do it on your own voluntarily, it's easier than being forced. Let me tell you, if you just go ahead and do it, that's a much easier path than somebody forcing you to do it. Let me just say that. So, yes, indeed. So, wrap us up, Queen.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for tuning in with us this week. I'm looking forward to next week. I think we're still going to be talking about this black-on-black crime, this topic that people keep bringing up,
and saying,
we can't do nothing, and everybody want to address this issue. So I wouldn't mind having a little discussion about it, seeing how everybody feel. But tune in with us next week for another great topic. And feel free to follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. If you have any show topic ideas, send us an email at collectivemindyahoo.com. Peace. Look forward to talking to you again.
To the mothers of the queens and the kings. We're going to get into some things. Dig deep and going deeper. Waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Like we walk in. Collective mind.